December 7th marks the 75th anniversary of America's entrance in World War II. To mark the occasion, we're bringing you stories about the war's environmental legacy in the Northwest. In Portland, the war effort was focused on building Navy ships faster than Hitler could sink them. But the war gave way to a dirty industry on the waterfront. EarthFix reporter Cassandra Perfita brings us the story of what happened after victory made all those warships obsolete.
You can still see them. Pieces of World War II ships scattered along the riverbank on Portland's south waterfront.
Aha, here we go.
Paul Fishman walks up to a rusty chunk of metal sticking out of the gravel.
Here's a piece of ship's hull. This has been here since the late 40s or 50s or 60s. I don't know when this was tossed over here.
It wasn't too long ago this site was buried in scraps like this. And worse, the vessels they came from were laced with all kinds of toxic materials, bad for fish and for people. Sure, it was a little crazy to take the job of cleaning it all up, but Fishman did it anyway.
I said, I will do this, but I'm only going to work half time because I need the other half time to see a therapist to figure out why I'm saying yes.
Now, the person he was saying yes to, that would be Jay Zidell. To understand how the South Waterfront became a junkyard for World War II ships, you'll want to talk to him.
Well, it was a good business for us to be in.
His dad, Emery Zidell, built what once was the largest shipbreaking business in the country on the Willamette River.
We were one of probably only four or five ship dismantlers in the entire country.
Jay grew up helping his dad run the business.
We had destroyers, we had submarines, we had the ship that we had the most of was called the Liberty Ship, just a cargo ship that was used during World War II.
Of course, it was the war that made shipbreaking such a good business.
We'll build a sailor, we'll never fail them.
During World War II, Portland's waterfront bustled with workers building warships. A group of shipyard workers known as the Singing Sentinels sang songs to celebrate the launching of new ships. One every 4 days at the peak of the war effort. And even that wasn't fast enough for President Roosevelt.
We must build more cargo ships, still more cargo ships, until we achieve a launching each day. Then, two ships a day.
But after the war was over, there wasn't much use for all those ships. In 1946, Emery Zidell saw an opportunity. He could grow his father's used machinery business by cutting up these hulking vessels and selling the scrap metal. His daughter Charlene remembers what the family scrapyard used to look like.
Mounds and mounds and mounds of metal. Just one heap after the next.
Thanks to the Zidells, hundreds of warships would come to rest right back where many of them started, their toxic contents spilling out along the riverbank. The insulation on the ships, the wiring, the linoleum on the floors, and even the paint was full of contaminants. Some of it, like asbestos and polychlorinated biphenyls or PCBs, we now know causes cancer. But they didn't know that back then.
At that point in time, no one knew what they were doing. Everybody thought it was a good thing to be getting rid of these vessels.
The company stopped dismantling ships in the late 70s. Only later would the family realize that this lucrative post-war industry came with a big environmental price tag. Pollution covered 30 acres of the Zidell's land and half a mile of riverbank, not far from downtown. Reviving this site would be a massive undertaking.
But once we became aware of it, we knew that we had the legal responsibility and we wanted to step up and do the right thing.
This is certainly the biggest project I've ever done.
The Zidells hired Paul Fishman, an environmental consultant, to oversee a voluntary cleanup.
This riverbank, before we started, was very, very steep, covered with all kinds of rubble, concrete, asphalt, metal, all kinds of industrial and urban debris that had been dumped here. It was truly a mess.
Cleaning it all up meant clearing debris and removing the most contaminated soil and river sediment. They covered the land and a portion of the riverbed with a thick layer of clean sand, dirt, and gravel. Then they lined the riverbank with native plants.
This entire property now is capped. We've cut off the source of contamination. So if I want to walk on this beach, if I want to paddle my kayak, if I want to swim in the river, it's all good. It's all healthy. It's all the way it should be.
All in all, the cleanup took more than 20 years and $20 million. And now, it's time to cash in. The family has 30 acres of prime riverfront property and a vision for the post-industrial urban neighborhood they want to see there in the future. I'm Cassandra Profita reporting.